most of you people on this radio station that were all ready to fire Jeremy Pruitt a couple weeks ago.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
I heard the way you guys were all acting, talking about my coach.
He lost to Georgia State. What do you expect?
A chance for improvement. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. In this situation, Jeremy Pruitt is just a 40-something-year-old bald baby, and the bathwater would be the Georgia State game.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Do babies even need baths? They don't work. They won't get jobs. Really, when you think about it, babies are a lot like the homeless. Just drinking milk and not getting jobs.
On 1340 WKGN.
We have grown here today on Talk Sports. Only 45 minutes in, just because I said Pruitt's a big baby, a big bald baby, that you guys wanted to throw out with the bathwater and fire him and said he was a moron that couldn't coach.
I wanted to put him in the microwave after Georgia State.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Studios. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
Going to start with some NBA news. James Harden. James Hardy's. Anybody? No?
Anybody? See what you did there.
He's a big old boy.
He is a big old boy. And he is not a happy big old boy right now because, man, he is about fed up with this Rockets team. So after another loss, got beat by LeBron and the Lakers. Last night, 117-100, was kind of a dominant, you know, second consecutive blowout loss to the Los Angeles Lakers. Harden pretty much is like, yeah, I'm done. He said, the quote is, I love this city. I literally have done everything I can, Harden said. And he said, I mean, this situation is crazy. It's something I don't think can be fixed. It sounds like he's done. He's over it. He's tried all he can to fix it here in the first 10 games of the season, and just not going to happen. They're done. So what do we make of this? I mean, the Rockets are still looking and apparently talking to, the report is, half a dozen teams trying to find a ongoing trade discussion here with James Harden, trying to find some sort of proper trade to get, you know, the right assets in return. But, I mean, how can the Rockets continue to ride this guy when he's saying stuff like this? He's like, yeah, I can't do anything else. It's over.
I mean, at least James Harden is playing, I guess.
is that the positive to take away here?
Would you rather him be playing? He's not pulling a Kyrie.
I would not rather him be playing if he's going to sit here and be like, oh, I've done everything I can. Like, get out of here, dude. What have you done?
Yeah.
Like, everything I can. Come on.
You could have been better in the playoffs, bro.
You could have, like, not been at a strip club and doing all that stuff and cost your whole team to be out for however long.
That wasn't him. That was the rookie that
whatever.
Had his whole team taken
out. I'm sure he was part of it too, John. Let's not be naive here.
I mean, I think it was the other guy that got them all sick. I mean, they're contact tracing there.
But it's not like Harden
wasn't doing his part either.
I was about to say, it's not like he's been doing the right things here in the first part of the season, demanding trades and complaining about the team.
I am not defending James Harden.
Okay. I was just making sure. So, I mean, what are the odds here? Harden finishes the season with the Rockets. There's no way at this point, right?
I guess the pandemic could end the season.
Okay.
Like, the pandemic could end the season before a trade happens. But, no, he'll be traded by the deadline.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah.
There's just no way to keep a guy who says all this.
Who the hell takes him at this point?
I mean, that's the problem, right? They've been trying to trade him all season, and it's just a hard guy to trade when he has that massive contract and trying to get assets in return as well.
And if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, you guys have looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, when all together. I mean, I know they went on a little bit of a losing streak whenever their whole damn team was out, but like Seth Curry and Danny Green spacing the floor for Embiid and Simmons, like it's worked. They were 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, you know, ESPN put up 5 trades that could work. I'll run through them quickly. James Harden to Boston. Ooh. For Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, and some picks.
Interesting.
If I'm the Celtics, man, I don't want James Harden. I'd rather just have Jaylen Brown.
You think so? Him and Tatum.
Look, man, if James Harden ain't going to be happy in Houston, like, I just don't feel like James Harden would be happy in Boston either. That doesn't really scream like the nightlife city for him to want to be at. I think James Harden would get bored in Boston.
Maybe if he's winning, he'd have a little bit of a better attitude. Which, I mean, I guess the Rockets weren't terrible the past couple years.
Brooklyn Nets for LeVert, Dinwiddie, Prince, Jared Allen. 3 first-round picks.
Well, Harden could basically replace Kyrie at this point. So there you go.
I mean, if I'm the Rockets, there's no good. I mean, Jared Allen, I guess, is fine, but he's not bearing Christian Wood.
Yeah.
Caris LeVert is nice, I guess, but I don't know how much sense that makes. Miami for Precious, Hero, and two first-round picks. Philadelphia for Ben Simmons. Toronto for Pascal Siakam and some first-round picks. Toronto, I guess, would maybe be the most desperate at this point. Like, it makes the most sense for Toronto to try to trade for him. But outside of that, I don't know. Next headline, please.
I was going to talk, you kind of mentioned a little bit with the whole COVID pandemic stuff going on with the NBA, and it's not been good. Having a lot of games getting canceled, postponed this week. And veteran guard George Hill currently plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Pretty well-respected guy. He was on the Bucks last year, and you know, he was talking about some of the rules, and he had some complaints. He said, "We want to play the game, but I don't understand some of the rules." He said, "We can sweat 48 minutes with a guy next to us for 48 minutes, but we can't talk to them afterwards. It makes no sense," which, of course, a lot of people have been kind of saying with the new regulations, not being able to, you know, talk to players after the game, dab people up, all that stuff. And he did say also that, "I'm a grown man. I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to go see my family, I'm going to go see my family," Hill said. "They can't tell me I have to stay in a room 24/7. If it's that serious, then maybe we shouldn't be playing.
I mean,
but it's life. No one's going to be able to just cancel their whole life for this game." So do you agree here with George Hill? Do you think that if it is this serious and they can't be able to do anything, that the players have the right to say, "Hey, let's just cancel the season. Why? What's the point in playing?"
I don't know if they have the. I don't know if they'll be able to cancel the season. There's too much money at stake. But like, you could definitely just do what Kyrie's doing and say, "Nah, I'm good. I'm just going to go do what I want. And if I have to sit out for 2 weeks, that's fine." Because, I mean, Kyrie didn't want to play in the bubble. George Hill wanted to go home. Like, he was constantly, you know, his was more tied to the, you know, the shootings in Wisconsin. But both those guys have been pretty vocal and like, basketball's not that serious. So I could definitely see why he would have Kyrie's back here. And Kyrie's basically just like, "Yeah, it's not that serious. I'll go home."
But then again, like, and let's just go ahead and move to Kyrie a little bit. Is it not just because Kyrie's kind of a superstar and has that like mentality where he could just kind of do what he wants anyways? Is that because I feel like the Nets are just kind of letting him do that? If this was some other player, would they be able to just say, "Hey, like, yeah, I'm done"? It's like, "Okay, dude, like, we'll just kick you off the team then. You're a role player. Your guy comes off the bench." I feel like Kyrie only has this because of his power.
That, and I would also say it's probably because he's made a lot of money and doesn't actually care if, like, he gets fined.
Yeah. He's got his.
And, like, he probably has enough money now where he could retire and be fine too. Like, if Kyrie retired.
You're really on the Kyrie retirement.
Well, I mean, Stephen A. Smith was screaming about this morning saying he should just go ahead and retire. Yeah, I mean, like, because, I mean, like, he doesn't seem to love basketball. Like, I mean, I think everyone kind of agrees with that.
Yeah, not his priority.
Right, I mean, he wants to do good in the world. Like, I mean, I think when speaking Kyrie, you should mention, like, that he has ponied up and tried to help causes. And, like, I think we're trying to make Kyrie out to be a bad person. I don't think he's a bad person.
No, I agree. But it is, I just do think you got to decide one way or the other. It's like, let's play basketball or let's not. I think that's kind of where my issue comes with Kyrie. It's like, let's go all in or let's just not play at all this year. I think would be the best way to handle it.
Yep. Like, I mean, like, again, when speaking about Kyrie, I think you should talk. I mean, he donated $320,000 to help a food shortage during the coronavirus. He donated 200,000 burgers to a New York City food bank, Beyond Burgers too, so trying to like it'd be healthier options. Mm-hmm. Gave $1.5 million to WNBA players who wanted to opt out of their season, like, to give them a little bit extra money because the WNBA didn't get the same type of comfort and stability. He tried to pony up for that and, you know, did things for Breonna Taylor. You know, like, I do think Kyrie is a good person and does care about a lot more than basketball. But at a certain point, like, if you don't like basketball, like, you can just retire.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
You could always come back, too, after a year, maybe. You could. A year or two, if you really wanted to. I mean, we've seen that done before.
You could. I mean, Darren Collison, you know, he quit to go be a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. Really? And, I did not know that.
Yeah, and then last year he was, like, the hottest, like, right near the deadline of, like, adding players. Like, both the Clippers and Lakers were courting him hard. Like, "Hey, you could put us over the top to win a championship, win the Battle of L.A. And he's like, I'm just going to stay retired. And, you know. But, yeah, he gave up all money just to go and, you know, because of his religion. So it's happened. I mean, people can prioritize other things in basketball.
Do you think George Hill would be saying the same thing if he was playing for a contender right now?
Where's George Hill at? He got
Thunder.
Traded.
Oklahoma City.
Okay, so he got traded.
Which the Thunder haven't played terrible this year.
They're not contenders.
No, way. Not even close.
Yeah, they're not contenders. No, I mean, I do think that because, I mean, George Hill apparently like, wanted to quit last year in the bubble.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Like, I mean, like the Bucks were the team that started the walkout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Playoff game where like, they weren't going to play.
Yeah. Right.
And like George Hill like led that movement and was like, I'm not we shouldn't be playing.
He gave the statement, didn't he? I believe, yeah.
So I will say he would say that if he was on a contender. I'm not going to act like he wouldn't because, you know, the Bucks were a contender last year and he was willing to go last year. And correct me if I'm wrong, did he get a championship with the Cavs? Was he on that team that won in 16 or no? I don't think he was.
I don't think he was either. Did he win one? He didn't win one with the Spurs either because he got traded before Kawhi. Yeah. Man, he's kind of gotten the short end of the stick for the championship.
He is the opposite of Danny Green.
Yeah, literally. Seems like he gets there and they go downhill a little bit. The Bucks too. Yeah.
He was with Utah. In Indiana. Around that time, so doesn't appear as if he has got himself a ring.
Tough.
Any other headlines?
Yeah, I was going to move on to the NFL. Coming out about 30 minutes ago, the Broncos have found their GM. They're hiring Vikings personnel man George Patton to a 6-year deal to become Denver's new GM, basically replacing Elway. So we'll see. The Broncos start to trend the right way. A lot of people thought Elway was a little in over his head anyway, so see what happens there. And then also for the Bears, it appears that they will bring back GM Ryan Pace and head coach Matt Nagy. Both will return for next year. Their defense coordinator, Chuck Pagano, did retire. I don't know if you guys saw that, but he will call it quits after a long career in the NFL. And also Ryan Pace, who got asked about Mitchell Trubisky, pretty much said the same thing Joe Douglas did about Sam Darnold with the Jets. He said, everything's on the table right now, which basically says, yeah, we're going to look at our options, I would say. So there's probably no way Trubisky comes back in a Bears uniform next year, but we'll see. Something to keep eyes on. And
Mr. Trubisky is not. He's not
going to. No, yeah, there's no way.
But Nagy, back in.
What do you think about that? You thought I guess he made the playoffs. I don't know how proud you are about that, and they didn't look good in the playoff game, but
maybe it's the opposite of Carson Wentz. Like, maybe you give him one, and Sam Darnold, like, maybe you give Nagy 1 year with a regular quarterback.
Yeah.
regular.
Although, like, I mean, he wanted Nick Foles, bro. Like, I mean, he wanted Nick Foles.
There was other options on the table, too.
Yeah, like, I don't think he should get another chance, but it's not my team.
Feels like one of those coaches that definitely probably on the biggest hot seat going into next year, at least one of the biggest hot seats. So,
but if Sam Darnold and maybe Carson Wentz get a chance without Gase and Peterson, maybe the coach gets a chance without Trubisky.
Sam Darnold and the Bears? No.
It makes sense. Mm. All right, good set of headlines. We'll come back and talk sports on Fan Run Radio. College football over. NFL season still going strong, and another big weekend in the second round. The playoffs are our favorite time of the year. You can bet on all the action this weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, they're running back last weekend's promotion, giving you the perfect opportunity to give it a shot. New users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during this second round this weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team, any playoff game this weekend. Go ahead, put it on the first game of the weekend. Let's get this rolling. Let's turn that $5 into $125 when the Packers dismantle the Rams. It's going to happen. What are you smirking at, Hayden? You don't think it's going to happen?
Nope.
You got the Rams winning?
I don't think they're going to dismantle them.
They're going to kill them. They're going to kill them. Yeah. They are going to beat them by at least 17 points.
You don't think they'll cover that 6.5?
They are going to discount, double check, all the way up and down the field. The Rodgers rate will be a quarterback rating of about 125.
Okay.
It might not be Devontae Adams. Maybe Ramsey Gardner, but they'll throw it to Valdes-Scantling. They'll throw it to what's the other guy's name?
Robert Tonyan.
Yeah, I was going to say Tonyan. They got Lazard. They'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
What was your 5-to-win 125 bet last week, John? It was the Tennessee Titans.
So. Is that true?
Yeah.
You sure I didn't just put it on like the Saints because it was the biggest line? Are you sure about that? Are you positive?
Because sure
it's not a cover, Tennessee it's just a Titans win. Are you sure about that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's true. The Titans were also your pick, too. by the way.
Well, I'm just saying.
I just want to point that out too. So, like, I don't want to have you put me down while you were also wrong. Again, I thought it might have been the Saints just because they were 10-point favorites, and it was just you just have to win, not cover. So I was kind of thinking that was used. FanDuel Sportsbook is easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit. If you're a new user, that should be appealing to you, and it's easy to get paid. FanDuel will pay you in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use the promo code TALKSPORT so I know that we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code TALKSPORT. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. ESPN reported that last night's national championship game, which I guess would be Monday night's national championship game at this point, two nights ago, drew an 18.7 million viewers, which is the lowest by far since 2004. Ooh. And 2004, I mean, it's quite a bit lower than 2004's low, too. The previous low was USC beating the hell out of Oklahoma. And that drew 21.4 million. So, like, this almost drew a full 3 million lower than that.
Yikes.
College football, broken. More and more people are figuring it out.
Yeah, both the semifinal games got higher audiences than the championship game. And that's never happened since they started the college football playoffs. So, Yikes.
Still surprising and still jarring to see. 18.4 million.
Do you think that's due to it being on a Monday night instead of on the Friday night for the semifinal games this year?
Well, this is for just the championship game.
I know, but he said that the semifinals had more viewers than the
I'd say it's just because there was at least somewhat intrigue in two other fan bases getting to watch. Like,
and I think those are going to be more competitive, too. I think people kind of thought Alabama was going to run away with it.
Probably also because, like, it's a Friday night. But, I mean, like, I feel like if you watch that, I feel like you knew Alabama was going to win. I mean, everybody in here did except Draven, who had convinced himself Ohio State was going to win for some reason.
75% of the population knew Alabama was
I wanted to believe in the upset. I wanted to believe in a close game. Sorry, you know? Sorry.
You have to apologize for being really, really, really wrong. At what point in that game did you realize it was over? Because, I mean, I feel like it was over pretty quickly.
That's not true. I mean, it was 14-14.
So you thought Ohio State was going to win when it was 14-14?
I mean, I thought it could have been a game.
So you had even more evidence to it, and you were still sticking to your
I thought Ohio State was
going to
hang around and then maybe make a little run.
Just checking. Checking.
Then things got a little ugly.
As soon as they kicked the field goal, I was like, well.
2004, USC, Oklahoma. I'm assuming USC was a pretty big powerhouse at the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma wasn't ready for that. I mean, they just had freshman Adrian Peterson, so I wouldn't even say they had star power yet. Like, you didn't really know who Adrian Peterson was. Their quarterback wasn't anything special, and you knew USC just had all the talent and it was, you know, going to dominate. The Monday night games might have something to do with it, but, like, there's no way to fix that. What other night could you play on? Hayden, you brought up the day of the week as a problem. You can't go up against the NFL. You'll get annihilated.
Friday night?
Friday night's like the worst TV night you can have.
Yeah.
Which I know the playoff did better, but it was a holiday. So, like, I mean,
it was a holiday.
The only chance you could have to fix this is to, and maybe they'll look and say, like, hey, the short turnaround wasn't that bad, but, like, maybe the only way to fix this is, like, the playoff games kick off the bowl game season, and then the national championship could be on, like, New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Like, would that make it better?
Or just do a 1 week thing from the semifinals, because the semifinals were on the 1st this year, and the championship was on the 11th, right? So if you did,
I don't feel like that was but I mean, again, what are you going to do? Like, play on a Friday? Like, Friday is like the worst TV night, that you can have. Like, Saturday you might be able to do, but again, you run into the NFL playoffs, and like, you're going to get swallowed up whole by the NFL playoffs. But there might be some fatigue there too. Like, I mean, I think college football is broken. I've been saying it for years. Like, I've fallen out of love with that product over the last decade. Like, I don't even consider myself a college football fan now. Like, I like Tennessee, but they suck. I would find myself watching some SEC games, but especially this year of no, like, real atmosphere, like, I didn't really care.
Yeah, that was a big hit too.
Like, gambling helps, but, like, actual fandom I could do without. It sounds crazy, but I would rather watch a fun soccer game than college football.
Whoa, now.
I'm being serious.
Bold.
I'm being serious. I would rather watch a fun soccer game with a fun soccer game with like big time clubs like Liverpool, Man City, throw some Chelsea, throw some Bayern Munich in there, like a Champions League game. I would rather watch that. I would. I'm being serious. College football's not fun for me anymore, and I might be wrong there. I don't know. That's how I feel.
Well, I just hate soccer, so I couldn't really be embossed in this. I wouldn't know.
That's fair, but like, I mean, college football is hurting, and like, you know, you knew Alabama was going to win, and even if they didn't, like, it's not like you had some scrappy underdog to root for. Mm-hmm. Your choices were Alabama or Ohio State. No one like is going to get excited about either one of those programs winning again.
I mean, what's college football going to do? There's nothing you can do to change this. I mean, it's just these are the two best teams. It's just how it's going to be. And then you're going to get a different four seed every now and then. They're just going to get killed by the number one seed like it always happens. I mean, this is just how it goes.
I've seen people advocating for expanding the playoffs not because it would give you an extra, a new champion. Mm-hmm. Not because it would change us, but basically be like, well, it just at least gives people more quote-unquote meaningful games and draws people in. Because now it has to feel pretty helpless to be a fan of a team that is good but not good enough Like, at least with us, Tennessee, we know mm-hmm. we're not getting in the playoff because we suck. But it had to be really frustrating to be like the fan of like the eighth best team in the country and just be like, we're just going to eventually end up in a meaningless ball game.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Like, I mean, Tennessee's bad enough to where there actually are players who want to play in the bowl game. Like, sure. If you're from 8 to, let's just say, 30, the only thing that matters is the regular season. Like, if you don't get there, then the bowl game is just like, man, our team's going to sit out. So,
I mean, look at what Florida – Florida had their whole roster mm-hmm. out. I mean, right. You know, Georgia started this a couple years ago, and they got smacked by Texas. I mean, where a whole team kind of opts out. You know, Leonard Fournette and McCaffrey kind of got the ball rolling when they were, you know, ahead of the draft a handful of years ago. But, like, Georgia's the first team that had, like, multiple guys. Like, we're good. We're focused on the NFL. So maybe if you just expand the playoffs for that reason, you'd probably hurt the regular season, but at least you'd get more games that people actually care about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to help when you get to the end of the line. When you get to the end of the line and have the national championship be the same, two of the same three teams. That's ultimately the problem. Because, again, it's easy to love sports when you have somebody to root for. It helps if it's like an underdog versus a favorite, like Patriots rolling, playing somebody, and most of the country can get behind the other team. LeBron in the finals, you could root against LeBron. But then even then it became, you know, LeBron versus the Warriors. And be like, I don't really care about this at this point, especially with that year the Warriors were so good.
Yeah.
That's how it feels watching Alabama every year. So I don't know how to fix it.
Death penalty, Alabama.
Just pay Nick Saban. Like, Nick. Like, if they instantly like, Nick, how much for you to retire? Like, how much money do you need, bro?
My man doesn't even care about money at this point.
Hey, you're right. Like, do we need to like make a statue? Do we need to name this the Nick Saban trophy? Like, what? Do you want to be the commissioner of the NCAA? Like, what do you want here? You want your own island? Like, a planet?
Give you anything, Nick. Anything.
Jupiter has radio signals apparently coming off. You guys see that?
Nice.
They detected FM radio signals on Jupiter.
Nice.
What?
You act like I'm making this up. I'm not making it up. It happened like last weekend.
Huh.
You saw it, right, Hayden?
No, I didn't see it.
Did you see it, Cam?
I saw it.
Okay. Yeah, they detected like FM radio signals on Jupiter's moon. I don't know. That means like aliens are there and have created like trying to communicate with people or what? But that's a real story.
Sitting there just bumping music on the radio.
Yeah.
Maybe what bangers you think they got on Jupiter?
I don't know.
Nick, you want to own the moon on Jupiter? Like we'll try to cut a deal. Like what the hell do you want? Because you're killing the sport.
Just go to the NFL, man. Get a new challenge.
Just retire, bro. Just retire. He's 70 now. He's not going to take on a new challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Just go be a family man. Just go love Terry like you should. She'd probably be like, you got to get your ass back in the office. You're retired.
Bothering me.
Yeah.
Complaining all the time at home. I could see him.
I really mean it. I would rather watch soccer on Saturdays than college football.
It's a little far-fetched.
I mean it.
Maybe, that national championship game, but like there's been a couple of exciting college football games.
Name
you'd
one.
Much rather
Name
watch.
One this year.
Georgia-Cincinnati was a good game. Last second field goal.
I'd much rather watch.
A little bit of a defensive
Liverpool
battle.
And Man City than that. Much rather.
Hayden, back me up here. couple of.
Oh, I hate soccer.
Coastal BYU.
I'd rather watch.
There you go. Coastal BYU. That was the game, game of the year.
Bear did on a Friday night. Right, or was it?
No,
nah,
it was a Saturday.
It was a Saturday.
It was at a weird time, though.
It was a Saturday, six or something like that. Yeah. All right, let's catch a break. We'll come back. We'll check in with Lucas Panzeca over in Nashville on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's head over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's get Big Luke. Lucas Panzeca joins us from the Mid-State. What's up, Lucas? Good seeing you this weekend, my brother.
John, it was good to see you, too. Wish you could have left Nashville in a better mood, but great to see you and Cody, as always.
Yeah, that was a tough loss. We're debating before you came on about college football. You know, 18 million viewers, the lowest since 2004. College football seems broken. What are your thoughts on how they could fix it and get a better product or get more eyeballs on it?
Yeah, I thought you hit the nail on the head when you tweeted yesterday that just more and more people are realizing that it's broken. This year revealed that, I think, more than ever in recent years. But, I mean, everybody has their own way to fix it, right? For me, in my mind, it's just, can we not leave the most important piece of college football up for debate? Like, make it to where there is a system to where you do a certain thing, like win your conference, and you get in. If you don't do that thing, you don't get in. It's cut and dry. We don't have a committee debating on which team is better. And just like that, it's simple. I mean, to me, that's the best way to do it. The one you keep hearing of the five conference champions and the at-large group of five, there you go. That's six playoff teams. There's no debate. If you won your conference, you got in. If you didn't, too bad. That's it. We're not going to sit here and debate about this team is better than this team, even though they have two losses and they only have one loss. Stop leaving the most important decisions in college football up for debate. Make it cut and dry.
Yeah. You know, I've been against the college football playoff expansion just because I don't feel like there's enough good teams, but maybe the key is just have more games that matter. I don't know. I do think there's also something to, I think people were footballed out by the time Monday rolled around because you had six NFL games this weekend, six playoff games, a better product, players that you know, players that the general public knows more about. Like, I know you know Devonta Smith, but, you know, mostly everybody knows at least one player from an NFL game, you know, that has been there for a while and has a storyline. I think if college football could kind of maybe do their first two rounds of the playoffs earlier, and their first two games, I guess, the semifinals earlier, and then maybe have their championship on New Year's Day, that could maybe help them as well. But it doesn't feel like Tennessee is going to be a part of this conversation for a long time. What's the latest in terms of what you're hearing over in Nashville? I saw that you guys had Doug Matthews on today, and he was doubling down, tripling down, that Pruitt is making this hire with Kevin Steele. Pruitt not going anywhere, despite what people want. So what are you hearing over there?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Matthews said that on the Zone today, and yes, obviously Pruitt is making the hire because he's the coach, and anybody that Doug Matthews asks over at the university, Phil Fulmer, is going to tell him Pruitt is making the hire because he's the coach. So didn't really put a whole lot of stock in that. It felt like a pretty simple thing to say. Like, yeah, it's easy to definitively say Pruitt is making this hire. He's the head coach, and an assistant coach just got hired. So that makes sense. In terms of what's going to happen, nobody really knows. I guess Pruitt's going to be interviewed with this investigation tomorrow, I believe. So and who knows if something comes out after that. But as of right now, everything's sort of hanging in the balance, right? So nobody has any definitive idea of what's going to happen with Jeremy Pruitt. The only thing that I know, the only thing I'm confident of, John, is that whatever happens, whether Pruitt is kept or if Pruitt is fired, the university is going to go about it in the wrong way. It's going to be dysfunctional, and it's going to be toxic. That's the only thing I can tell you for sure.
So what do you want to have happen?
Like, I mean, at this point,
Put yourself back at UT. You're a fan.
Yeah.
I know you went over to Nashville and became big-time media, but you started here at Fan Run Radio, so let's just call it what it is. You're a Tennessee fan. What do you want to see happen as a fan?
At this point, reset for the next offseason. That's not what people want to hear. Like, but let me kind of explain a little bit. Like, at this point, the timeline is not at all ideal for a coaching search, and that's because of the lack of trust I have in the program. Like, in an ideal scenario, yeah, obviously you got to move on from Jeremy Pruitt. This is not the guy that's going to get you back to where you want to be. But you got to take into account the trust that you have in this program to make that right decision after firing Pruitt, and it's just not there. You'd rather launch a coaching search immediately after the conclusion of what hopefully is a normal 2021 season instead of in January, 2 months after the end of the COVID season and fresh off an internal investigation. So that's why I'm to the point where I fully expect UT to do the wrong thing here, regardless of what comes out of this situation. Like, if they do fire Pruitt, which is obviously something a lot of people want to happen, it's probably the right thing to do long-term. I fully expect it to be at, like, the beginning of February after finding violations within the program and then scrambling and making a panicky hire a la Derek Dooley in 2010. Like, people do realize if Pruitt is fired, Tennessee's not going to hire Hugh Freeze, right? Like, I'm just so tired of seeing this. Tennessee is not going to wrap up an investigation into the program about impermissible benefits to recruits and players and then turn around and hire Hugh Freeze. So everything we've seen this offseason points to and indicates that regardless of how this situation shakes out, it's going to be bungled up and hilariously dysfunctional and continue to set the program back. That's the only thing I'm sure of with this scenario. So might as well see what happens next season, and if it goes the way we think it will, get ahead, get off to a clean start to your next coaching search.
Well, my only question there, Lucas, and I mean, those are good points and, you know, well argued, but my only question is, well, what would change in 8 months, or let's just call it 10 months? What would change by the time we got to November? What other candidates would there be all of a sudden, like, that would get people excited that you could have a clean transition to? Because I don't know, you know, what names will be out there. Like, I don't know what will be different next go around. That would be my only concern. Because, like, right now, yeah, you say Hugh Freeze, and that's fine. Like, I will listen to, you're not going to come off of a you know, investigation into your program and then end up with Hugh Freeze. But, like, you know, Jamie Chadwell, National Coach of the Year, let's just say that right now he is your best realistic option. Maybe you would say Doug Marrone, whatever. But I think most people would say the best college option you have right now is Jamie Chadwell. What happens if Jamie Chadwell loses a little bit of the magic and he goes 9-3 versus, you know, 12-0? Can you run a 9-3 Coastal Carolina coach in here and still have people excited? Because I think if you made the switch, and, you know, it's Coastal Carolina's program, like, Tennessee should be able to pluck him. If you bring him in after he wins National Coach of the Year and wins 12 games and goes undefeated and beats BYU, you would get infinitely more excited than you would if you, you know, hired him after 8-4 or 9-3. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, agree. But then don't you have a little bit better evaluation of him after he goes 8-4, 9-3, that maybe he had a lightning in the bottle scenario at Coastal, taking advantage of a bizarre season when other teams didn't? And yeah, I mean, the excitement might be higher, but does that necessarily mean that he is that the next guy, that he is the guy to take over your program?
Well, if he's not, then who the hell are you going to hire? That would be my question. Like, who are going to be the options? Because, I mean, if you fire Jeremy Pruitt in 10 months, which I think, you know, I don't think he would have a good enough season to get people back on his side and survive. If you fire Jeremy Pruitt in 10 months, you're going to be probably looked at even less favorably as a destination for these coaches. So, like, I don't know, like, where that's the sad part is I don't know, like, where Tennessee is going to go in terms of this next coach, whether it be in 2 weeks or whether it be, you know, a year from now or 11 months right from now. Like, it just seems if you have to fire Pruitt in 10 months, 11 months, that means the season's gone poorly, the recruiting's gone poorly, you've had another wasted year. It's going to look a lot like 2017 where, you know, Butch Jones goes 4-8, and then you know, have a terrible coaching search and end up with a unproven defensive coordinator that, you know, isn't any good.
Well, and so much has to happen between now and then to see how that scenario shakes out. The only thing is for me here and now is I have just zero trust whatsoever that this program would make the correct move after firing Pruitt in the midst of everything that's surrounding it right now with the internal investigation. Like, this job looks terrible right now, and it could be worse 10 months down the road. It certainly could be, but I still feel like I'd rather have that fresh start early December without an investigation to worry about and trying to get a coach over here, because you can still get somebody. I don't know if Tom Herman's still going to be available around then. I don't know if Doug Marrone's still available, Jamie Chadwell, whatever he does. Hell, it makes more sense to hire Hugh Freeze when you're well removed from that investigation in December than it does right now. And I don't know that Tennessee would. I have a hard time seeing Tennessee ever hiring Hugh Freeze with this pass. It's just kind of the way we've seen this program operate. But it would make sense to do that in December, about 10, 11 months removed from this whole mess than it is now. And I don't know what's going to turn out here. We're going to learn a lot from Pruitt's interview. it might just totally blow over. The NCAA may not even get involved, and Pruitt's the coach in 2021. He goes 6-6, whatever, gets fired, and Tennessee has to start fresh. To me, I know it sucks. It sucks to waste a year. We've wasted years for the last 15 years at Tennessee.
Sure.
But it's just, to me, that is more appealing than trying to scramble right now in mid-January and what would probably be the end of January, early February, like you had back in 2010. It probably wouldn't be that bad. You wouldn't go get a dually. The signing period's not as important in February, so it wouldn't be nearly as panicky. But just kind of ask yourself, do you trust this program to go out and get a guy that's going to right the ship after everything that we've seen the last couple months with this investigation, with the toxicity right now, the dysfunction, players leaving? We think that this is the time that Tennessee is going to go out and get somebody that's going to come in and actually fix things?
No, I mean, our rule here on the show is just assume Tennessee is going to do the dumbest thing possible. So,
correct.
Like,
yeah, that is a rule to go by.
That's completely fine. I will say the NCAA stuff, I do feel like Tennessee is doing enough due diligence in handling this themselves that they should be looked at favorably by the NCAA if they do have these findings and like, hey, we cleaned house, we fired everybody. Like, we got rid of these coaches. It's not like the NCAA had to come and do this themselves. Tennessee took it upon themselves. And, you know, if they are firing Jeremy Pruitt, I do think they would probably be looked upon favorably by the NCAA. But, again, that doesn't mean that you would then jump back into bed with somebody who is going to put you at risk. All right, Luke, what else you got for us? Anything?
Not much, man. Hope you guys are doing well.
I hope you're doing well. What are we feeling about the Titans? Do you think Arthur Smith's taking a head coaching job? What's the rumbles there in Nashville?
Well, he's interviewing, obviously. It feels like every opening is taking a good, hard look at Arthur Smith. Sunday's game did not help his stock in any sense, and there's some good candidates around. So I don't know right now. I mean, I think if the Titans had won on Sunday and were still rolling, then Arthur Smith would still be very high on some lists, and you would expect him to leave. But with that performance Sunday, I still feel like there is that sliver of a chance that he stays in Nashville. But we'll see. I mean, I feel like there's a solid 8 or so coaches that are good, solid candidates, Smith included, and with 6 openings, I'd give it a 50-50 chance that he stays in Nashville at this point, but we'll see.
I still can't get over that punt by Mike Vrabel in the fourth quarter. I'm 4th-and-2. What a coward. Hashtag
coward. It was with what we've seen from Vrabel in the past, that's about as shocked as I've ever been from a decision from him. You know, more shock than anything.
All right, give Lucas Panzeca a follow on Twitter, follow his work. Lucas does a good job covering the Vols, working in Nashville. Love you, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. You too. See ya.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. Appreciate our friend Lucas Panzeca for joining us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. As we were talking, there came a report from Shams saying the Rockets are sifting through finalists, the Nets and 76ers, for a James Harden deal that could culminate quickly with Brooklyn preparing an offer of all of its future first-round picks and pick swaps. So Brooklyn trying to go all in, get James Harden. And, you know, Draven, you said it. At this point, hell, if you're Brooklyn, it might just be insurance on Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, basically.
Like, you promised Kevin Durant a star to play with.
What is it? All its future first-round picks.
Slide Kyrie in that deal.
Well, you can only trade, I think, for like, I think it's 8 years in the future, and you can't trade back-to-back years. So all of its first-round picks would be 4 picks. Mm. And the swaps would be like, we'll take the worst pick of the in-between year. So that's like, they made a rule. I think it's a stipend rule where basically a team can't trade all of its draft picks. So, like, they can only go 8 years in the future, and it can't be back-to-back years. So they would trade 4 picks and 4 pick swaps with Houston.
Interesting.
And then they'd still, you know, be giving young players. Okay, let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex.
Back on the program. I feel like they made KD a promise that we'll have him a second star, and Kyrie has gone AWOL, so now you got to go out and get you a James Harden.
Do you think that did maybe up the ante to get that trade done for the Nets? For, was it Sean Marks, their GM?
I would I mean, I imagine at this point you can't rely on
right
Kyrie. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I also feel like if you have James Harden and Kevin Durant, and, you know, even if you have Kyrie Irving or you don't, like, you're the best team in the East. And if you're bidding against the 76ers, who could also say the same thing, you've got to go ahead and try to get that deal done. But I would say KD's pretty frustrated.
I would also say if they trade for James Harden, that Kyrie's going to be like, I'm done. Wouldn't you see him be like, yeah, I'm not playing this year?
Yeah.
Which would be unfair for the Nets, but it's like, I could just see Kyrie pulling that kind of string, honestly.
Yep.
As sensitive as he is when it comes to, you know, playing with certain players or whatever. Yeah. He didn't want to play with LeBron, didn't hate playing with the Celtics. Like, I could see him being like, yeah, I'm not playing with James Harden.
You're like, oh, you tried to replace me?
And if you're Houston, you want no part of Kyrie Irving either. Like, he, yeah. Maybe that's why Kyrie's done this. Maybe he wanted to go ahead and just tank all his draft stock. That way no one's trading for him. He doesn't have to worry about getting shipped to Houston.
So who are they wanting to trade for besides the picks, or was it just picks?
For Brooklyn, I mean, they'll be trading like for Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert.
Okay. A
couple role players.
Yeah, I mean, Caris LeVert's kind of their lead guy off the bench. He likes handling the ball. I mean, I would imagine, like, Dinwiddie's out for the year with a torn ACL, but, like, mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily matter if you're Houston. You just want, I mean, Allen's a good young piece, but, like, you really just want the picks. And at this point, like, you've tanked, like, you're tanking James Harden's drafts or trade stock the more you wait when he comes out like he did after the game last night. I mean, John Wall was mad after the game last night too, right? Didn't John Wall have a quote?
Oh, yeah, so. About, like, jumping off the ship only 9 games in or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I don't know why everybody is jumping off, like, the rocket ship right now. We're only 9 games into the season, stuff like that.
Well, I mean, that's right after James already called it hopeless, and Wall was just like, yeah. it's 9 games, like. So, I mean, like, I would imagine John Wall and James Harden aren't getting along very well.
Yeah,
probably. And John Wall's looked better than you thought. So, like, you might feel like you actually have a good piece with John Wall. Yeah. And then, you know, Christian Wood looks like a big-time addition at center. He's been really good. So, if you're the Rockets, it just makes sense at this point to not bring down the rest of the team morale and deal with James Harden. You just go ahead and just get rid of him.
And I get James Harden's a great scorer. Like, I get it. I think we all know that. But, like, the guy doesn't really step up in playoff series. He doesn't really. He's never been to the Western Conference Finals, has he? I guess he went. Maybe did he go with Chris Paul 1 year?
Talking about Harden.
Yeah,
Harden's
yeah,
been to the Western Conference Finals a couple times.
Yeah, Oklahoma City.
He went to the finals.
It's been a long time though since he's made a run.
He was in the Conference Finals. Him and Dwight Howard went to the Conference Finals too, as well. I'm pretty sure.
Were they in the Conference Finals last year? The Warriors made the finals.
No, they lost in the semis.
Okay.
But the year before that, they should have won the finals. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. When Chris Paul got hurt, they were up 3-2. Like, mm-hmm. I think if Chris Paul wouldn't, they were up 3-2 with home court advantage. Mm-hmm. If Chris Paul didn't get hurt, I think they would have eventually beaten that Warriors team, and then I think they would have steamrolled the Cavs. But I mean, Harden's gotten to the conference finals. It's just he hasn't either necessarily performed well there, performed clutch, or haven't gotten over the hump. But on the other hand, like, kind of hard when the Warriors have been standing in your way. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it's kind of hard when that really, really great Warriors team has been standing there. And the Rockets probably did give those teams the best challenge. Like, obviously, the LeBron team in 2016 beat them, but that was without KD. Like, the KD Warriors, the best challenge they got was from the Rockets. You know, excluding the Raptors when everybody was hurt. Like, and, you know, Durant and Clay are out. I think his choking, I would say it's overblown, but I mean, like, the numbers are there. Like, I mean, I think it's just a difference in playoff basketball and, like, being the only guy that can handle the ball and, like,
yeah.
Or at least the guy that's going to have to take all the shots, create all the offense, like, especially when Chris Paul was gone. But once you come out and just say, hey, it's hopeless, like, you got to get a guy away from your franchise that's saying that. So you don't think if he went to Brooklyn with KD, they would make the finals?
Man, the East is kind of open, though, is the only thing. I mean, they're definitely the best team in the East, but.
Yeah, I'm just saying make the finals.
Right.
Not win a championship.
Yeah.
Although you'd feel
like they would. They'd make the finals, most likely.
I mean, adding James Harden feels like you are at least going to have an open shot whenever it comes to competing. If you were matched up with the Lakers, you could say that you have two players that are just as good as LeBron and Anthony Davis. Now, you know, I don't know if that's exactly true anymore. We'll see the further the season goes along as far as KD goes and if Harden loses some weight and kind of gets back into shape. But you would feel like, okay, we got two top six players. They got two top six players.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You'd be the only team that could say that.
But at the same time, don't the Nets kind of have enough issues? You have a first-year coach. You have a point guard who's not even hardly played this season. Like, you got KD coming off an injury. You got all this kind of going on.
Yep.
I mean, it's basically KD and Kyrie's first, you know, full season. Kyrie played, what, 20 games last year for him, that?
It's 100% their first full season.
I just feel like you got too much going on to bring in a whole nother personality who is completely disgruntled, who's completely going, not even wanting to play for his own team now.
I'd say he wouldn't be disgruntled if he got traded, though. You'd probably get that honeymoon phase
from him. You would hope so, but you just never know. You don't know how him and KD are going to clash.
It's important to remember that also you would add in, there's some history there with him and Mike D'Antoni, and D'Antoni is Steve Nash's lead assistant.
Exactly.
Although, we don't know if D'Antoni and Harden like each other or don't like each other. I would say that if the Nets are signing off on that they like each other and that D'Antoni, you know, he defended Harden forever. He loved Harden, but he'd be telling them, hey, it's worth it.
Yeah.
This guy's good enough. This guy will do this for us, and we'll know how to make it work. But could just be Kyrie insurance.
Yeah.
And just keeping him out of Philadelphia.
By the way, KD looks good. Did you see him last night?
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
That little step back three hit for the dagger. Mm. Mm. He had 34.
He's really, really good at basketball. If you have him and James Harden, like I said, that's the only team that you could look at and say these guys are just as good as LeBron and Anthony Davis.
So you wouldn't worry about who's handling the ball for the final shot. You wouldn't worry about team chemistry a little bit if Harden came in. You wouldn't worry any about that because these guys are just that good.
I mean, would I worry about it? Sure, but I'm always going to give me as many good players as possible, type of thing. Give me as many good people as possible. And we'll hope that talent wins out. It doesn't always, but sometimes it does. Hmm. And plus, Durant came from Golden State, right? And Golden State had a lot of people to feed there too. And it was I was going to get the shot between Curry and Durant. It's it doesn't matter. Durant Finals MVP. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines.